Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Phoenix, a 5.5-point favorite against the Denver Nuggets. Total is 224.5.
I'm getting back on Devin Booker over rebounds.
Morris down the lane, edging his way. Rebound by Booker.
CP3 over 15.5 points.
Chris Paul's got 14 points. Another three.
Michael Porter Jr. can under 19.5.
I'm going to play Porter under.
A miss by Porter. 2 of 12. Bad basket all.
I actually like Phoenix a lot in this game. -5.
Love the Suns tonight.
Phoenix Suns are going to go up 2-0. It's the Nuggets' largest loss of the season.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Lots of wins. Victories abound for the crew.
That was great.
Very well done. Great job by Rick. Great job by the crew here on You Better You Bet. Tyler, Rick, and Bill. Awesome stuff there. We nailed this game. There's really no other way to say it. And look, we come on after games sometimes, and we'll tell you, hey, man, we bricked this one. And we'll get back on the horse and see if we can do a better job. This one, we really couldn't have. Well, I guess Monte Morris could have gone over, and then we could have been unblemished. But, you know, we'll take the 10-1 right between Ken and I as the Suns take down the Nuggets last night, 123-98. So Chris Paul points goes over. Michael Porter goes under everything. Austin Rivers goes under points. Devin Booker goes way over on rebounds, which is absolutely fantastic. We cash with the Suns. I cash with the Suns team total over. Jokic assist. Ken, this is really as good as it gets.
Absolutely. Absolutely phenomenal. And honestly, I won't say I was going to say, you know what the best part is, but the best part is that I won a lot of money last night. That was the best part. But you know what the second best part is? I think a lot of this is predictive. I think a lot of this is going into game three. I think game three is going to be a crazy environment. We can talk about the side and total for that game eventually. I think it presents a really interesting dynamic, the way the series is set up and with some other news and stuff going on. But a lot of the specific statistical angles that we have taken, like, those are going to still be true. Devin Booker's still going to be where he is, rebounding the ball. Like, Jokic assists is still going to be a thing, and we can kind of go back and forth on the game last night and how that ended up so close to the number that it was in the market. But I think that's almost the best part. There's at least two more games left in the series. There's probably realistically like three games left in the series.
And I'm not so sure.
We're going to be we're going to be betting. Well, game three I think is very fascinating, but we're going to end up, I think, with a lot of opportunity to bet the same things in the market kind of over and over again. And I have a couple more even that we can add to the list.
This was just an incredible effort by the Suns in the second half last night. We'll get to some of Ken's prop takeaways, and we'll spin it ahead to game three momentarily here. But we need to talk about, because look, it didn't play out identically to what we saw in game number one, but similar enough where Phoenix comes out in the second half and just absolutely bulldozes Denver. I think the big difference here between game one and game two, and Phoenix, by the way, now -910 to win the series, the Nuggets at +570.
Should be -100,000.
Yeah. Or minus infinity, because they're not going to lose the series. Phoenix is advancing to the Western Conference Final. The big difference here, the body language from Denver was obviously atrocious. They looked defeated. They looked defeated like midway through the third quarter. They were like, it felt like the game was absolutely over. They had one like kind of sort of mini run that was like squelched almost immediately by Chris Paul and Bridges. And Paul was fantastic. We can talk about, you know, he kept going over on points, but some of the passes last night, he controlled the game. He was absolutely magnificent. But Michael Malone, and I love when coaches do this, and I mean that sincerely. Like, I'm not saying that sarcastically. Like, I came on the show yesterday. I love what we talked about with Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy ripping the officials, calling the Islanders the New York Saints. It's like when your season's on the brink, you throw the kitchen sink at the problem. You empty the proverbial playbook. You do whatever you can to galvanize your team here, because he's feeling the heat. Like, he knows his team's basically on the cusp right now, that they're almost done here. So Malone comes out and absolutely rips his team a new one, saying straight up, we quit. The body language was terrible. We took the bad performances on offense, and we carried it over to the defensive end. Jokic had to basically stand up there after the game last night, Ken, and be like, I don't know if we quit, but, you know, we definitely, like, we lost. I don't know if we quit. Right. So I think Malone is clearly setting the stage now to light a fire under their derrieres to get rolling here in game number three, which I agree with what you just said, sets up a really fascinating dynamic and a really interesting game where the crowd's going to be insane. You would expect at least, maybe they don't win, but you would expect at least a better effort from the Nuggets in game number three, Ken, where they're a 2-point favorite and the total sitting at 223.5.
Yeah, really, really fascinating stuff. The Malone thing for a second, because there was a lot to unpack, I think, of what you said there. It would mean more if he didn't do it after game one, too. He said that they played really scared. He had all kinds of really harsh things to say about his team's performance in game one, and then they did that. So now this is like the pivot point where they're going to respond. I mean, it just, like, it's all empty. And the reason it's empty is that the stuff that we said on the Power Hour last night, like, what were the adjustments supposed to be? Like, what was supposed to happen here? Well, I mean, Austin Rivers and Campazzo were supposed to play great. Really?
Hey, you give Jamal Murray a new ACL. That's right. That's right. The adjustment.
And give Porter a new back, and give Will Barton 25 games to get up to speed before playing last night.
And guess what? You still lose. Good.
Right.
And you still lose if that happens.
So it's just, I don't know what they're supposed to do. Like, what? And you saw just for glimpses, it's not really a prop takeaway necessarily, but if you're looking at the box score last night, you're like, oh, Jokic 6 assists, like maybe distributing the ball a little bit more. You saw the night and day difference of the very small period of the game in which DeAndre Ayton was in foul trouble. And what happened at that point? Yeah, that does unlock a ton of different stuff. And that creates a lot of different really interesting things offensively for Denver. The problem is, That happened for like 5 minutes. That happened for like less than 5 minutes in the game. And yes, Jokic had like 4 assists during that period of time because it's Kaminsky or it's an undersized defender. Phoenix brings a double team. Jokic always picks out the perfect possible person to make the shot in that situation. So yes, like when Ayton's not in the game and he's in foul trouble, which we had a glimpse of last night of what that's like, the assist is going to get shattered if we ever have a game like that. We might have one coming up. We'll see. But, I'll play against that until it happens. But you see how, yes, like that would be something Denver could take advantage of. But as long as Ayton is like able-bodied and guarding Jokic for the majority of this game, I just don't think there are any adjustments. You're playing Jokic one-on-one. Ayton's pretty effective. And like if that's true, there isn't another adjustment. Like that's it. Everything has to spawn from the fact that Jokic has to be that good. If he can't be, it doesn't matter who the other four players are necessarily. Like Will Barton 2 weeks from now, if he played every day, cool. Like that could end up being something, but there's just not enough here. And we already talked about in the previous series against Portland, how thin the bench was anyway. And that's why I was really worried about having Denver in that series to win the series. Like Marcus Howard's giving you minutes. Jermichael Green's giving you a lot of minutes. Like this isn't going to be good. This isn't going to go well long-term. You're just kind of seeing the chickens come home to roost in a certain way with just the roster that's available for Denver. There just aren't any adjustments. Doesn't mean they can't win game three. The atmosphere and the setup there is very interesting because not only do you have the down 2-0, the first half's going to be a crazy number. All that stuff's going to be in play in this game. Jokic is also going to receive the MVP trophy, which is always like a significant thing. Chris Paul actually told his team that yesterday and then told the media that he said that, like, we need to be really, like, this is going to be insane. We need to be really ready for the fact that, like, he's going to get that trophy. So I think that's, like, kind of a fun dynamic of, like, what is the energy in Denver?
I love Chris
Crowd's
Paul.
Going to be wild. Oh, yeah.
But I used to hate him, and I feel like sure. He's made, like, a major.
When did you hate him? Like, what years did you hate him? All the Clippers years?
Well, I hated him with the Clippers, and then, like, I always bet on the Rockets, and then, like, he would get hurt, and then I'd be like, well, now I can't win my bet, so I hate him.
I ended up on the opposite side of him so often, I actually kind of loved him. Like, I ended up, the only time I was on them was that Game 7 against the Spurs. It was, like, one of the most memorable days in sports history for me the last 15 years.
Well, that's Mayweather-Pacquiao in the Kentucky Derby.
Correct, with American Pharoah, who went on to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, I mean, there was so much, and there was, the Rangers played an early game, I believe they played the Capitals at noon that day, and
there was another Game 7, like, in addition, I think, to that Game 7, that was a first round Clippers-Spurs Game 7,
correct.
And the Clippers, like, and that was like when the Spurs, that was like slaying the dragon with the Tim Duncan Spurs at that time.
Paul basically had the game winning shot, I think, in that game too. So there was, I had an all day parlay that was Rangers at noon, Clippers money line, American Pharoah to win the Derby, and Mayweather. And it was just like one of
and
the
if
great.
If you had, by the way, Nick Costos to black out that day, then you would have cashed big time.
Right. Yes.
Because that happens.
I have friends that were so big on American Pharoah, like the entire lead up to that race. And I have one friend that like basically got blackout drug and apparently like called bookies and bet 50K on Mayweather after the race and like didn't remember. And like just, there are lots of stories about that day that like go down in infamy basically. But the takeaway there, I guess, is just like for Chris Paul, like That was the only time I was on him. I had the Warriors big, and that's like needed him to get hurt, honestly, in the Warriors Rockets series. All the other Clippers series, I managed to dodge them. Didn't have them against the Rockets for the biggest meltdown that they possibly had.
When they were
had,
up 3-1 and Houston came back and won the next three,
which was obviously not great. So I've always been like Chris Paul and I have always, we've always been good. Like we've been pretty good. Did you have the Thunder against the Rockets in any of the games last year? Like, didn't you play that series a lot? What did you have in that series?
I had the Rockets, man. I bet the Rockets, like,
well, you had them against the Lakers. But did you have them against the Thunder, too?
Of course I had the Rockets. I would go to meetings, and I would stand up and say, my name is Nick Costos, and my addiction is betting the Houston Rockets. Right. They'd say, hey, Nick, how are you?
And we could talk about Paul for a second. So anyway, Paul tells us, to get back to Suns and Nuggets, Paul tells his team, like, be ready for this. You have the skewed first half line because it's the team down 2-0. But we also had, somebody brought this up, that like Shaq and Charles on Inside the NBA the other night were both talking about MVP trophies and like the dynamic of receiving it. And like they actually both said, and they had talked to other players who had won, that basically the problem was like you actually play worse because you're like, it's so in your head that this is like your night, that like the spotlight is on you even more. They actually said it was like a negative, honestly, for them as you know, to receive the award, which I actually thought was kind of interesting. I don't think that's a reason to play.
Great. Now let's give it to you when you're down 2-0. And if you lose, your season's definitely over. Here you go. Congratulations.
I think a game, I would view it a little bit like Milwaukee-Brooklyn tonight, where I feel very confident Brooklyn's going to win the series, but it would not surprise me at all if Milwaukee won this individual game, and this was like an A++++ performance. I could actually see Denver doing the exact same. Like, I have no desire. Like, you and I are in on Suns series. We're in so good here. It's not even funny. We had the Suns last night. There are statistical prop angles that I'll take in game 3, but there, I'm very, very unlikely, I think, to have a side in game 3 just because it's such an obvious pivot point for the Nuggets in the series, even if it's just for one game.
You bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley running through takeaways from the Suns-Nuggets game last night and spinning it forward to game 3. I think I'm going to bet the Suns in game 3, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, okay. So I'm watching the game last night. Ayton picks up the second foul early, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we're in a little trouble right now, because I remembered what we saw in the opening round series, right? Because whenever Nurkic got into foul trouble, it blouses. The game's over.
Right, because
Jokic is about to absolutely.
And then Jokic made us pancakes. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, Phoenix ain't Portland. And nope. I just really want to hammer home the point. And Ken, like, I completely understand. Like, you think Phoenix is going to win the series. So do I. And I know what you're saying, that it wouldn't surprise you in a raucous environment. Malone kills the team, right? Jokic gets the MVP.
Barton, an extra game, played 15 minutes. Now he's going to play better. Yeah.
Porter's like, literally the announcers were talking like in the first couple minutes. Man, Michael Porter doesn't look good. Gee,
he looks really stiff out there. He looks like terrible moving around. And in my head, I'm just like, yes.
I just don't know, like, what Denver has for Phoenix. I kind of think they're going to get swept.
A billion threes. That's what they have. Sure. That's what any team has in this situation. Honestly, that's what Milwaukee has tonight. That's all they have. Like, maybe they can finally shoot 50% from three for one game. That's what they have. That's what Boston had against Brooklyn. That, I mean, there's just in any series where the dynamic is this, like, it's so obvious through a couple games which team is better. Like, yeah, that's the dynamic the other team has. And cool, like, we can... It's like, I know it seems like we're probably jumping to conclusions a lot. Like, well, you should see each team play in each arena before you really like, right? And like, nobody's lost a road game yet. I would say these are two series where I would actually feel more comfortable doing that than other series. I think this is a strong enough vibe in terms of what you get in the series. And there'll be teams that'll lose the first two games at home and I'll be like, or on the road rather, and they'll go home and I'll be like, no, like, still stuff they can do. Everyone's played so poorly. Like, the Nuggets aren't even playing awful. They're just totally outmatched. Like, there's a difference between that. It's not, well, they had, like, the Bucks in game 1 against Miami go to overtime. Giannis has the free throw thing. It's like a weird game. But if you kind of watched that game, you're like, the Bucks have 100 wide-open three-pointers. Wide-open three-pointers in the game. Like, there's a lot that they can improve on in this. And against Brooklyn, it's like, that's not the way it is. And Phoenix against Denver, that's not really what's happening here. If anything, like, I kind of think Phoenix should have scored more. Like, how many corner threes did they miss last night that were wide open? Bridges could have had like 18 threes in the game. And he's going to keep doing that in Denver too. That's not going to change. So just lack of adjustments. I mean, honestly, and maybe it's not game 3. Maybe you're right. Maybe Phoenix wins, but yeah, maybe Denver gets one. But I think
I got an angle for you.
I think that's not in doubt anymore.
Look, listen, maybe Denver comes out flying high. First half goes well. I don't know. I could be looking at a second half bet on Phoenix, a live bet on Phoenix at a better number, because my sense is,
Well, that's Denver, like, tonight. Probably, why not wait? Right?
Yes. Well,
Well, they might be down 30 at halftime tonight, but that's what
we'll get to our picks for the Bucks and Nets coming up in the Power Hour here. But I may be looking for a live because I feel like Chris Paul's going to settle it down, and I feel like he's going to get him rolling in the second half when the time comes. I don't know. Sure. I kind of this series is D-U-N done, and it might be. I don't know how to, a funny way to misspell the word sweep. Anyway, get the brooms out. I feel like we might be getting that. Great season for the Nuggets. Thank you, Jokic, for the MVP. Congratulations. Yep. We'll see you in October. on the other side, a little whatever you prefer. NFL MVP version. This is going to be really awesome and a good thought exercise, not just for us, but for you, dear listeners. We get set to bet the NFL this coming season.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
In hour number two of the show, Ryan McDonough is going to join us, former NBA general manager, and of course, Odyssey Sports NBA insider, breaking down the NBA playoffs. Can't wait to have McD on the show. Pete Blackburn will join us as well from Valley Sports to break down the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if the Islanders can take down the Lightning in one of those series in the Final Four, we'll hit a bunch of NFL minicamp OTA stories as well, spin them forward in the betting perspective, including Justin Fields looking great at Bears practices. We have a whatever you prefer prepared. NFL MVP edition that we will get to momentarily, but we do have one bit of house cleaning to do as it concerns the Suns and the Denver Nuggets. Want to make sure we get this in. Game three coming up tomorrow night, Friday night, and for those of you listening in podcast form, tonight. So we need Ken Barkley's prop takeaways here. So Ken, why don't you hit us with it? Prop takeaways from game two into game three, Suns and Nuggets.
Sure. I have five things written down. We'll go through them really quickly. First is we played the Jokic assists under religiously in the Portland series. We played it last night once we saw what Phoenix was going to do. You even got some eight in foul trouble, still barely went under the number. I think by him finishing on six, it's really likely he gets 6.5 again listed in the market. And just a reminder, if the number is 6.5 in the market, Jokic has now played eight playoff games, and all eight nine. Times the numbers. Nine this, playoff games?
Eight. They eight. Won in six. My bad. Fuzzy
eight.
Math.
Eight playoff games, and he's gone under 6.5.
I have assists. An accounting degree.
He's gone under 6.5 assists through regulation in literally every game of the playoffs, every single one, all eight, and in overtime went over the number in whatever that was, game three or game four against the Blazers. But we're going to play that again, obviously, 6.5, even 5.5 I would play based on what we saw last night. Nothing has changed. Booker rebounds over. They're probably going to give you a pretty similar number. 5.5 juiced under was what it closed at last time. We're definitely going to play that over again. He had 10 defensive rebounds. He actually could have had 15. Porter was actually better than I thought, but what's going to happen, I think, in game three and throughout the rest of the series, Barton's going to start playing more. I think he was actually their best player besides Jokic last game, like last night watching the game, had the most energy, like kind of could give you the most on the offensive end, could create his own shot, could make a three. So I think as he plays more, there are two players who are impacted by that in various statistical categories. So I think we're still going to play Porter unders, even if it's like, well, he got lucky and whatever, be like, if it's somebody who's playing with an injury and his minutes are threatened by someone else, that's somebody that we're playing. Also, Barton and Porter are probably going to end up playing alongside each other a lot. That affects each of their props, but we can't bet Will Barton props. We have to bet Porter unders. I actually still think we're going to go back to the well on that. Two other ones. Chris Paul points, I'll be really curious about now that he started to do this through two games. How is that affected in the market? Like, I think if there's someone who I would say, like, I think this person could end up shooting more in game three in like a hostile road environment as the only player on the team with any playoff experience, I would expect like a very high usage Chris Paul game in game three. And I'll be curious if his props are affected kind of by what we've seen. What was the points prop you had last night? Was it 15.5? Right. Yep. 15.5. And I think assists has now been, it's like gone through the roof. I think it was 8.5 juiced over last night. And he went over that as well, but I'll be curious what his props are listed at. Overs on him, I think a pretty good idea. And then last one, Aaron Gordon, total no-show last night, but also didn't play a lot. And in the first two games of the series, has one rebound and zero assists last night, and then four rebounds and two assists in game one. Part of that other shift is he started guarding Devin Booker more on certain possessions, like trailing him around screens and everything. That means he's actually farther away from the basket on misses if you watch the game. So defensive rebounding, just like not something he's been a part of necessarily. The guards have rebounded a little more. Jokic obviously is going to be around the basket. They played Millsap and all these guys. So like, Gordon rebounds, I think, is going to be a really interesting angle. I don't know if his assist prop will necessarily be a lot because he doesn't get a ton of assists anyway, but I'll be really curious to see what his rebounds number is in the market. I think something like 4.5, 5.5, you can like really easily play the under on and feel good about it because I think they will still try to have him guard Devin Booker a lot of the time. And he's just been honestly a total no-show. And that's another guy who Will Barton's minutes affects significantly from an offensive usage standpoint. So kind of five things to keep in mind there going forward.
Last note on the props here. You mentioned Will Barton and like him being back and getting more minutes and playing better, affecting players on the Nuggets. We played the Austin Rivers unders last night. Those came through here. Is that something that you're looking to target potentially? Barton getting more minutes, taking more shots, adversely affecting the production of Austin Rivers.
Sure. The thing about guys like Rivers, right, is it's already such a low number, right? Like what was the number, like 8.5?
9.5.
Number like 9.5. I would imagine you get a lower number because we didn't know whether Barton was going to play for sure last night. And I think some of the markets that were open for fringy Denver players probably didn't take into account that that was even going to happen. I would imagine there's like an adjustment, and he's also not somebody who's offered necessarily everywhere. I think it would just be like, let me see what they put up. Like, are they really going to put up 9.5 again for that? Like after what we just saw, maybe. Also, if there's a way Denver wins, it's like not because Gordon scores more. It's not because Porter scores more. It's because like all their guards, all their shooters shoot really well. Like that's how they're going to win, because Morris and Campazzo and Howard and Rivers all make a ton of threes off Jokic passes. Basically, like that's what it's going to be. And those are the guys who can kind of create a shot. So, you know, the guys you would almost expect to play better in game three are not really the guys that I would be targeting.
Great. Based on that analysis, can't wait to bet the Suns tomorrow night in game number three to take a 3-0 series lead. If those are the guys that need to play well in order for Denver to win, give me Phoenix to win game number three.